From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Monday, March 28th. Coming up, when you hear the term blockchain, you might think of cryptocurrency. But the healthcare industry is also looking to utilize blockchain to help securely share data. We'll learn more coming up in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Residents of rural Champaign County have a new chance to pay for home repairs too expensive for their incomes. Illinois Newsroom's Emily Hayes reports.
Michael Davis's ideal client is an elderly couple making ends meet with their retirement income. They can't afford to fix their leaky roof. By the time they pass their house on to their children, the house is too far gone for repairs. This is where Davis usually comes in as executive director of the Central Illinois Land Bank Authority. The local government asks his nonprofit to demolish the house. But he would rather prevent the need for demolition in the first place.
These are quality of life improvements. Like, if you don't have money to fix the roof, eventually the rest of the house, bad things are going to happen. You're going to get mold from leaks.
Last week, the Champaign County Board committed $500,000 to the land bank to start the program in rural areas outside Champaign, Urbana, and Rantoul. Davis says the nonprofit will be able to repair about 15 homes with that money. I'm Emily Hayes, Illinois Newsroom.
A new recreational space is coming to Champaign's Garden Hills community this summer. An empty lot on Hedge Road will be converted into a temporary park with the potential for basketball courts and gardens. The project was modeled after projects in Chicago that use parks to prevent community violence. After a record number of shootings in Champaign in 2021, Assistant Planning and Development Director Rob Kowalski says the project aims to bring Garden Hills residents together and combat gun violence.
So the more we can do to be in the neighborhoods, meeting with people, getting youth together in positive ways, the better.
But some residents say the project still needs work. Rita Connerly, president of the United Garden Hills Neighborhood Association, said at a Champaign City Council meeting this month that the park does not do enough to embrace the area's diversity.
One thing I think that we're missing here is the fact that it's not inclusive. So we need to make sure that this space is going to be a diverse space, especially considering the fact that it is in a marginalized community.
Construction is expected to start this spring and finish by June 1st. A building boom is underway in Danville. As Illinois Newsroom's Reginald Hardwick reports, the Vermilion County City is anxious to get dirt moving on a new casino and other projects.
A groundbreaking ceremony is planned in early April to transform a warehouse along Danville's industrial corridor into a new Golden Nugget Casino. Jimmy Wilmot is the president of Danville Development. He says the new casino operators are ready to bring in the trucks to begin phase one of construction.
We're mobilizing obviously a workforce for the construction process. So we are hopeful that end of this month, first week of next month, we will have a full team on site.
Hundreds of slot machines could be busy by this time next year, and that's only part of the sounds of change in Danville. Crews are finishing a brand new four-story medical office for Carl Health in West Downtown. Auto supplier Flexengate is doubling the size of its plastics parts plant. And FedEx is building a 200,000-square-foot distribution center on the far east side of the city. Danville Mayor Ricky Williams says the growth means a surge in employment.
I think we'll be right at the 1,000 new jobs mark in just a couple of years. That's phenomenal. And what I love about it is the diversity of investment. You have Fortune 500 companies, and you literally have a mother and daughter buying a building downtown to create a new studio and offer something unique to our people.
Danville Development says the new casino alone could raise millions of dollars for Danville in its first year. Reginald Hardwick, Illinois Newsroom.
Still to come, we'll learn how OSF Healthcare is hoping to use blockchain technology to securely share data. That story from Tim Shelley is coming up next on 217 Today.
The 21st is where Illinois gathers for news, information, and daily conversation on politics, the pandemic, culture, and everything in between. I'm Brian Mackey, inviting you to join the conversation anytime, day or night, by leaving us a voicemail. The number is 217-300-2121, and we might play it on air. Then tune in Monday through Thursday at 11 a.m. on AM 580 and 6 p.m. on FM 90.9.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. You may have heard about blockchain technology in the context of cryptocurrency like Bitcoin. But Dr. John Vozinelic, Vice President and Chief Medical Officer of OSF Innovation and Digital Health, says the blockchain platform may also have a transformative use in healthcare data. He spoke with Tim Shelley about the possibilities.
Blockchain is a technology that allows for data to be added sequentially in a certain way, is immutable. It's always out there. It can be audited, queried. You can understand what's in the ledger, and it's shared. It's sort of a shared consciousness. And that is a fundamental aspect of the technology that we're looking at. The other feature of blockchain technology that's newer is the addition of smart contracts. So you can actually make if-then statements and propose transactions or business dealings or exchange data with certain rule sets. And that also can be documented on the blockchain. It actually serves to democratize a number of processes.
A lot of people think blockchain, they might think cryptocurrency, but we're not talking about cryptocurrency here. This is kind of a different concept, but related, as you were saying, for healthcare.
Yeah, so when one thinks about blockchain, and among the first uses of blockchain were the ideas of alternative currencies. And the theory there was that if you had one coin, that coin could only be spent once, couldn't be double spent. And that record, that transaction was immutable, was always known. These are also basic principles. However, the use of blockchain for our purposes really revolves around being able to understand how data is being used, who is sharing in the data, how is the data being leveraged by researchers or by other companies to understand interesting things that we hope progress patient care outcomes, progress population health information, and its transition from one party to another.
And I guess being able to share that information in this way, how does that change how healthcare operates potentially?
Well, one of the features that we're most interested in is the idea that you could create the highest level security, some would theorize even better than the security that we have today, place data in a very trusted space and allow collaborators who, by virtue of these smart contracts, are really held to certain rules about how the data is being used, how it's being shared, and it could enhance the privacy. And so what happens is we have the ability for even very strong competitors to collaborate in data sharing and open up a little portal under strict rules that they could answer questions that are meaningful. In healthcare, we're all about health and wellness, and health and wellness of community is paramount. And there's also this introduction of a very strong interest in social determinants of health, which really are all the things that happen outside of the bricks and mortar of the hospital and the clinic. And in order to really impact health and wellness, we're going to need to share data about the social conditions, about the non-clinical things, as well as some of the clinical things. And we're going to have to do so even with some of our strongest competitors.
How does the blockchain change or strengthen that process compared to what you are doing right now?
So this is a really important and fundamental question. So there are systems where two trusted partners can agree to share some data. And frankly, this is done all the time in healthcare. The best example is probably most accessible is we request permission of our patients to share information with their insurance company so that their bill gets paid. That's a trusted relationship between two entities dictated by the patient's best interest, no? But those require contractual agreements, right? They're bonded in contracts that are in written form. And of course, companies can change. They can be bought out by others. They can change their purpose, et cetera. In our future think around blockchain, what we're thinking here is that more of the agency about how data is shared is given to the patient so that they hold the key to unlock the data. And its use then becomes transparent to the patient. And they may also receive some, not just information, but maybe some rewards when the data is leveraged. Now, the key component that I started talking about is this idea of trusted parties sharing data. And you heard me say that in our future, we imagine a condition that for the best outputs for population health and for other reasons, even competitors who don't necessarily trust each other will need to share data. So if you were stuck only with the idea that only trusted parties were going to share and you broke that, you disrupted that, and you said, well, here's a platform that even strong competitors who don't trust each other can share data. Well, then blockchain starts to look really, really interesting. It really transforms the way data is shared.
That was OSF Healthcare's Dr. John Vozinelic talking with Tim Shelley about how blockchain could be used in healthcare data management. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says we'll see mostly cloudy skies today with a high of 43 degrees. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Farrah Anderson. Reporting today contributed by Emily Hayes, Hannah Lonergan, Reginald Hardwick, and Tim Shelley. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.